Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
OC Board to consider budget. OA News at OAOA.com. Adoption of the 2020-21 budget, equipment and software purchases are on the agenda for the virtual Odessa College Board of Trustees meeting set for 6:30 p.m. today, August 4th. The board also will schedule tax hearings. The total budget for 2019 through 2020 was $51,745,312, Director of Media Relations Sherry Dalton stated in an email. The proposed budget for 2020-2021 is in the process of being finalized to be presented to the board this evening. The current tax rate is $0.186790, in parentheses, 18.679 cents, close parentheses, per $100, parentheses, $100, close parentheses, of valuation. The board will consider approving a bid for a SoftDocs eTrieve CUD subscription, which will replace its ImageNow software. Director of Media Relations Sherry Dalton stated in an email that this will provide more flexibility and efficiency for the imaging needs of the college. This will be for digital scans of documents, records, etc., Dalton stated. Approval for the purchase of a LabVote cyber physical lab simulator and universal collaborative robot work table for the Bachelor of Applied Arts and Science, BAAS, program also will be considered by trustees. This will be for one of OC's BAAS degrees in automation and is aimed at providing up-to-date training on state-of-the-art equipment for the industry training needed in this community, Dalton stated in the email. The Bachelor of Applied Arts and Sciences degree in automation prepares graduates for design, development, implementation, and support of the software and equipment in control systems, the OC website states. Potential job opportunities for graduates include automation, control engineering, robotics, automated systems, systems calibration, systems troubleshooting, quality engineering, and maintenance. The job need from the oil and gas industry includes positions such as electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, automation supervisors, and senior engineers for equipment. These types of positions will continue to be prolific as the industry continues to expand in the Permian Basin, the site details. Some of the other items on the agenda are an update on the CARES Act from Vice President for Student Services, Kim McKay. CARES stands for the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Safety Act. An institutional effectiveness report from Vice President for Institutional Effectiveness, Don Wood. President Gregory Williams will report on a COVID-19 update, the 3430 Fitness Challenge, and coffee and community conversations. On the net, tinyurl.com/y5fbro2t. Construction. There are two photos on this front page. The first one, crew members with Reese Albert Construction tapped the top of a valve key Monday morning as they work on one of the underground city water main that runs along Andrews Highway. Construction on 42nd and Andrews Highway has reduced the number of lanes at the intersection, while maintenance to water lines and the roads above them is underway. The next photo, a crew member from Reese Albert Heavy Construction watches as a construction grader backs up Monday morning. After pouring new concrete to the road, the construction will move to the other side of the road once the city water lines have undergone needed maintenance. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. Death notices. Jose M. Acosta, Odessa. Jose M. Acosta, 69, died Friday, July 31st, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Danny George Cardenas, Odessa. Danny George Cardenas, 75, of Odessa, died Friday, July 31st, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Obits of Midland. Lazaro Gonzalez Pondo, Odessa. Lazaro Gonzalez Pondo, 90, of Odessa, Texas, died Thursday, July 30th, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, August 2, 2020. Obituaries. Anne Bowen Cooper. Anne Bowen Cooper died of natural causes on July 26, 2020, in Chandler, Arizona, with family at her side. She was born in Wichita, Kansas, on July 30, 1934. She was the daughter of Ezra Carlos Fetty and Marjorie Strother. She was preceded in death by her husband, Billy Bond Cooper, of Midland, Texas. She is survived by her sister, Julia Witchers, of El Dorado, Kansas, and her five sons, Charles Gyrens, of Bentley, Kansas, Scott Gyrens, of Farmington, New Mexico, Mike Cooper, of Chandler, Arizona, Stephen Cooper, of College Station, Texas, and Tony Cooper, of Houston, Texas. She's also survived by 15 grandchildren and 32 great-grandchildren. Anne was a woman of faith and a long-standing member of Christ Church Anglican of Midland, Texas. She spent her early years growing up in and around El Dorado, Kansas, where she attended Winfield High School in Winfield, Kansas. She was a cheerleader for the Vikings. She attended Butler County Community College, where she continued with her cheerleading and educational endeavors. After graduation, she moved to Hobbs, New Mexico. In 1970, after meeting Billy Cooper on a blind date, they soon married. After Bill and Ann's marriage, she attended New Mexico Junior College, where she pursued a career in real estate. She enjoyed travel, community involvement, where she served as a pink lady, the Kansas Jayhawks basketball team, Texas Rangers baseball, golf, and everything Permian Basin. But her concentration and passion was in raising her five sons. She spent thousands of hours in ballparks and stadiums watching her children and grandchildren make her proud. In 1990, she and Bill semi-retired to Midland, Texas to pursue their love of family, West Texas, and friendships. Her generosity and philanthropy to causes in her hometown and nation was her great satisfaction. In February of 2020, she relocated from Midland to Chandler, Arizona to be nearer to family, where she passed peacefully on her way to her eternal home. At some future date, there will be a memorial gathering in Midland, Texas to celebrate Anne's extraordinary life. As was her way, she requested, "Y'all have a party. Tell an Anne story or two. Have the priest say a few words, but mostly use this final event for gathering friends and family so that you might enjoy one another. In lieu of gifts or flowers, please consider a remembrance of Anne by supporting CASA of West Texas. If you are interested in the future date of her memorial service, please contact Stephen Cooper at scoo6400@gmail.com. Fred Jarrell Bolton. Fred Jarrell Bolton, 80, of Hearst, Texas, a loving husband, dad, and exceptionally devoted grandfather, died Monday, July 27, 2020. Funeral will be held at Blue Bonnet Hills Memorial Park on Monday, August 3, 2020. Fred Jarrell Bolton was born August 18, 1939, in Norman, Oklahoma. Jarrell was a graduate of Midland High School in Midland, Texas. Jarrell also attended the University of Oklahoma, where he played for the Oklahoma Sooners football team, 1956 through 1957. He was preceded in death by his first wife, Rennell Rhodes Bolton. Survivors, wife, Edith Nell Richards Bolton, his son, Jarrell Rhodes Bolton, daughter, Janelle Bolton Cates, grandson, Matthew David Rogers, and wife, Brianna Bober Rogers, Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey Williams, Mr. and Mrs. Tom Richards III, and son, Tommy, Azra Johnson and husband, Steve, and son, Xander, McKenna Warner and husband, Donnie, and their children, Edith, Edward, and Elliot. Herbert C. O'Neill. Herbert C. O'Neill passed away peacefully on July 29, 2020. He was born in Marlin, Texas, to James Moody and Pearl Vera Moorer on October 29, 1951. He attended schools in Midland, Texas. Herbert was a kind and gentle soul. He was passionate about his family and friends. When you see him, you see a smile. He was full of joy and fun to be around. You were sure to be filled with laughter if you were in his presence. Preceding him in death are his parents, James Moody and Pearl Moorer, brother James T. O'Neill. He leaves to cherish his memories, his children, Derek Mayberry, Latina, of Pembroke Pines, Florida, Lashika Mayberry Burton, Tommy, of Fort Worth, Texas, Yatasha O'Neill of Midland, Texas, and Shanta Clemens, Terenzo, of Amarillo, Texas. His grandchildren, Javians Mayberry of Midland, Texas, Devontae Coleman of Midland, Texas, Demetrius Mayberry of Killeen, Texas, Desiree Mayberry of Killeen, Texas, Derek Mayberry Jr. of Killeen, Texas, Deandra Mayberry of Killeen, Texas, Benny Jones Jr. of Fort Worth, Texas, Benjamin Jones of Fort Worth, Texas, King McMarion of Midland, Texas, Tyvon Clemens of Amarillo, Texas, Taryn Clemens of Amarillo, Texas, and Shia Clemens of Amarillo, Texas. His great-grandchildren, Zakylin of Midland, Texas, Jeremiah of Killeen, Texas, Bronson of Midland, Texas, and Drace of Midland, Texas. Brothers, Robert O'Neill Sr., Midland, Texas, Donnie Hayes of Dallas, Texas, and David O'Neill of San Francisco, California. Sisters, Pamela O'Neill Jones of Lancaster, Texas, Irma Wortham, Gary of Houston, Texas, Jan Voss of Dallas, Texas, and a host of nieces, nephews, cousins, and friends. On Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, we will be honoring Herbert with a memorial service at Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home and Chapel at 2 p.m. Mass are required at the service. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. James U. Jim Gentry. James U. Jim Gentry was born to James Dolph and Mary Angela Wood Gentry on December 4, 1927, in Stratford, Oklahoma, the eighth of nine children. The family moved west in 1936 with five boys and one girl, which were still living at home. His father, James D., passed away soon after when Jim was only 9 years old. Jim enrolled at St. Mary's High School in Phoenix, Arizona. He earned letters in football, basketball, and baseball, graduating in June 1948. He loved to follow the girls' softball team at St. Mary's. He enlisted in the USAF in March 1949. Jim served 6 years in the Air Force, with 30 months being in Tokyo, Japan, with the Far East Air Force headquarters. Jim spent the last 2 years of duty at Webb AFB in Big Spring, Texas. He met Joanne Jones, the love of his life, on a blind date. They were married August 7, 1954. He was discharged from the Air Force in 1955, and they moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Jim enrolled at Arizona State University in September 1955 and received a degree in accounting in 1958. Joanne worked to help put Jim through college. Their first child, Deborah Ann, was born on July 4, 1957 in Phoenix. In November 1958, they moved back to Midland, and Jim started to work for Henry Black Drilling Company and the Adobe Oil Company in December 1960. Their second child, James Theodore, was born February 10, 1962 in Midland, Texas. He spent the rest of his career with Adobe as treasurer and assistant secretary, retiring in 1986. Jim was inducted into the Arizona State Hall of Business in 1970. He spent the remainder of his life playing golf with his friends at Horseshoe Bay, where he and Joanne had a lake house and Ranchland Hills Country Club. When he was not playing golf, he spent time with his wife Joanne in their retail business, Joanne's Fine Gifts, which they opened in February 1982, taking care of the accounting duties of the business. He also delivered many shower and wedding gifts to so many homes in Midland. He was a jack of all trades. He continued to work in the store till 2015. Jim loved attending the UIL basketball championships in Austin and spending time with his children and grandchildren at Horseshoe Bay. He was always present at the activities of his three grandchildren. Jim joined the YMCA in 1964 and was one of the original starters of the noontime basketball. He played 5 days a week at noon until he retired in 1986. Jim is part of the greatest generation that overcame many hardships. He was the only one of his siblings that graduated from college. Jim always would say he had a wonderful life and the best wife ever. They were members of First Baptist Church, where they enjoyed attending Sunday school class together with their many friends at the church. Jim dearly loved his daughter Debbie and his son Ted. His grandson Ryan Elder, his granddaughters Jennifer O'Neill Sell and Maggie O'Neill, his two great-granddaughters Caroline Sell and Kennedy Elder, and great-grandson Griffin Sell. Jim was preceded in death by his parents, four sisters and four brothers, and his wife Joanne in 2013. They were a great pair and were married 58 years. Now Jim is with his loving Joanne. Jim is survived by his daughter, Debbie O'Neill, his son, Ted Gentry, his grandson, Ryan Elder, his granddaughter, Jennifer, and her husband, Taylor Sell, his granddaughter, Maggie O'Neill, his great-granddaughters, Caroline Gentry Sell and Kennedy Brooke Elder, and grandson, Thomas Griffin Sell. His sisters-in-law, Shirley Fox and Fleda Lopshire, his nephews, Marshall Fox and his wife, Jolie, Robert Howe and his wife, Gloria, Billy John Churchwell, Donald Lopshire, nieces Christy Fox, Lisa Stoddard, Kim Flowers, Gail Johnson, and Lisa Lopshire, and several others scattered across the United States. We are so grateful for his caregivers from Lowry in home care, Liz Navarez, Manuel, Vivian, Daisy, Dottie, and especially Diana Gutierrez, who was with Jim and family taking care of him at the end. Special thanks to hospice for their care and comfort the last 2 days. Visitation will be held Monday, August 3rd, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. Services will be held Tuesday, August 4, at 10 a.m. at the Nellie Picklin Welch Chapel. Interment will be held following the service at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Pallbearers will be Marshall Fox, Ryan Elder, Taylor Sell, Ted Gentry, and Robert Howe. We know this is a difficult time for attending a funeral. Please know we understand if you do not feel comfortable attending. If you do attend, a mask is required. The funeral will be available to live stream at www.npwelch.com. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Kathy Jeanette Billingsley Eggleston. Kathy Jeanette Billingsley Eggleston went to be with her Lord and Savior on Friday, July 24, 2020. A private family service will be held at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Miller Family Funeral Home. Kathy was born on April 19, 1952. She grew up in Abilene, Texas, and graduated from Abilene High School in 1970. She attended Angelo State and earned her teaching degree in just 3 short years. She also obtained a master's degree in education from Hardin-Simmons in Abilene. After 31 years as a kindergarten teacher and a reading specialist with Abilene Independent School District and Midland Independent School District, she retired to live on her grandfather Billingsley land near Dunn, Texas. Kathy put her Christian faith into action every day and was a member of First United Methodist Church in Abilene and First United Methodist Church in Midland. Kathy was a kind, loving person that would do anything for those she loved. She loved all of her young students and taught countless children the love of reading. She could always be counted on to know all the details of family history. Her bright smile and kind heart will be missed by all who knew and loved her. She was preceded in death by her husband, Mike Eggleston. She is survived by her parents, Bill and Margaret Billingsley of Abilene, her brother, Carrie Billingsley, and his wife, Becky, her nephew, Nathan Billingsley, and his wife, Erin, and their daughter, Sadie, and her nephew, Taylor Billingsley, and his wife, Emily, and their children, Jack and Charlie. Ralph L. Barker. Ralph L. Barker was born on February 5, 1926, and died on July 25, 2020. Ralph will be remembered for his love of God, his family, music, and his wonderful sense of humor. Ralph was a proud veteran of the U.S. Air Force, serving in Texas, where he was married to Billy Sue Cornelius for 46 years until her death. Ralph was married to Laverne Allen for 22 years until her death. Ralph was also preceded in death by his parents, two sisters, and three brothers. He is survived by a brother, George Barker, and a sister, Alice Nesline, of Ohio, sons Robert and wife Debbie Barker, daughter Barbara and husband John Koch, and his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Ralph spent his entire career in data processing. He was active for many years at Crestview Baptist Church. In his later years, he resided in the memory care unit of Manor Park. The family expresses their deep appreciation for the excellent care provided by the staff at Manor Park. Due to COVID-19 issues, there will be no service. Robert Jones. Robert Jones, 79, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Wednesday, July 29, 2020. A visitation will take place from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Sunday, August 2, 2020, at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. on Monday, August 3, 2020, at Stonegate Fellowship, with burial to follow at Fairview Cemetery. Robert grew up in Artesia, New Mexico, and graduated from Artesia High School. He served in the U.S. Army from December 10, 1963 to December 9, 1969. He was honorably discharged and then moved to Midland, Texas in 1970. He worked for the city of Midland from 1971 until he retired in 2005. Robert met his wife, Maria, in 1981, and they were married in 1983. They raised three kids, 12 grandkids, and 8 great-grandkids. Robert was someone dearly loved by everybody and cherished by his family. He will be forever missed and will always hold a special place in our hearts. Robert is survived by his wife of 38 years, Maria Jones, children Maria Gomez of Houston, Melissa Garcia and husband Alfred of Big Spring, and Roberto Gomez of Midland. He is also survived by his granddaughters, Jovita Gomez, Tommy Gomez, Serenity Garcia, Carmen Lopez, Yacinda Gomez, Talina Gomez, and grandsons Joe Garcia, Alfred Garcia, Fabian Garcia, Sean Garcia, Jose Lopez, and Samuel Perez. Great-granddaughters Melody Garcia, Kayla Green, and Armani Gomez. Great-grandsons Ades Garcia, Uriah Garcia, Josiah Garcia, Johnny Sanchez, Jr., Fabian Garcia. Also surviving him are his brothers Truman, Gordon, Johnny, and wife Brenda. Sisters Ava, Naomi, and husband Benny, Jackie, Ruby, and husband Art. Several nieces, nephews, aunts, and cousins also survive him. Robert is preceded in death by his father, Jack Otis Jones, mother Trudy Jones, and a brother-in-law, Ray Murdoch. Pallbearers will be Joe Garcia, Jose Lopez, Alfred Garcia Jr., Fabian Garcia, Sean Garcia, Alfred Garcia Sr., honorary pallbearer, Samuel Perez. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Gloria D. Clemens. Gloria D. Clemens, 61, of Denton, Texas, passed away at her residence on July 24, 2020. Services are pending with Jackie Warren Funeral Home. Margie Brandon. Margie Brandon, 61, passed away July 29, 2020, in Midland, Texas. Margie was born on April 4, 1959. To Willie and Pearl Brandon in Corsicana, Texas. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Raul Borrego. Raul Borrego, 52, of Midland, passed away on Friday, July 31, 2020. The family will be holding private services. Survivors include his wife, Leslie, and their children, Ryan, Monica, Bianca, Zachary, Raul, Leslie, and Gina. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland.
Obituaries and death notices for Sunday, August 2nd. John W. Cliff, Jr. John W. Cliff, Jr., 70, passed away Friday, July 10th at his home in Odessa. He was born March 25th, 1950 in Bonham to parents John William Cliff and Betty Lou Wheeler Cliff. John is survived by his wife of 27 years, Rebecca, his brother Daniel Wayne Cliff and wife Susan of Sand Springs, Oklahoma, sister Martha K. Ramirez and husband Roland of Tucson, Arizona, a son, Jacob Cliff, and his wife Paula Deal Cliff, daughter Heidi Cliff, son Jordan Cliff, daughter Hillary Lyon, and son-in-law Josh, daughter Hollis Cliff, and stepson Harrison Kobos, and daughter-in-law Helen Kobos, 9 grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. A memorial service may be held in the future when John's full beloved community of family and friends can be together to celebrate him and share special memories. In the interim, if you choose to honor him, please make a donation to the charity of your choice. Dr. Ralph Charles Tierney, Austin. Dr. Ralph Charles Tierney, 93, died July 13th. He was born February 13th, 1927, to Thomas and Florence Tierney. He married Mary Lou Albers in 1951. Mary Lou preceded him in death. Surviving him are his children, David Tierney and wife Melissa, Ann Tierney, Elizabeth Dolan, Jane Tierney, Jan Tierney, and Judy Tierney, 6 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren. Arrangements are by Cook Walden Chapel of the Hills. Cindy Macias Reyes. Cindy Macias Reyes, 44, passed away in Odessa Wednesday, July 29th at Medical Center Hospital. She was born in Odessa Thursday, March 25th, 1976, to Elfida Macias Reyes and Nicholas Reyes. Surviving her are her husband, James Talamantes, daughters Alyssa Talamantes and Coral Reyes, son Julian James Talamantes, her parents Elfida and Nicholas Reyes, brothers Joe Nicholas Reyes and wife Imelda and Luis Reyes, sisters Yolanda Reyes and husband Sammy Mancha and Elizabeth Reyes, 12 nieces and nephews, 7 aunts, and 9 uncles. She is preceded in death by her grandparents, Juana Macias, Crespin Reyes, and Natividad Lopez Lerma, and an uncle, Manuel Macias. Public visitation was held Sunday at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Funeral services will be at Odessa Christian Faith Center Tuesday, August 4th at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Odessa 2 section of Ector County Cemetery. Condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Max Boyd Seawright. Max Seawright, 55, of Odessa, passed away July 26th. He was born August 23rd, 1964, to Royce and Dorothy Seawright, the youngest of 5 boys. Max is survived by his daughter, Mesha Randolph, and husband, Chris, daughter, Destiny Deards, 3 brothers, Royce, Doug, and Bruce Seawright, 3 nieces, and 4 grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his mother, Dorothy, his father, Royce, and a brother, Sydney. Memorial donations can be made to the Dust Bowl Animal Rescue of Midland. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, August 3rd, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel, with Mike Barlett officiating. Due to COVID-19, all attendees are required to wear masks. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Margie Brandon. Margie Brandon, 61, of Midland, died Wednesday, July 29th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage of Midland. Marlene Fay Funk. Marlene Fay Funk, 87, of Odessa, died Thursday, July 30th. A funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Wednesday, August 5th, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Burial will follow at the Odessa 2 section of Ector County Cemetery, with Pastor Craig DeArmond officiating. Mildred Wallace Lewis. Mildred Wallace Lewis, 92, died Saturday, July 25th in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. James Patrick Penley. James Patrick Penley, 68, of Odessa, died Wednesday, July 22nd. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Charles Lanny Simmons. Charles Lanny Simmons, 74, of Odessa, died Tuesday, March 24th. A memorial service is scheduled for 4 p.m. August 4th at Eisenhower Church of Christ in Odessa. A family visitation will take place from 3 to 4 p.m. before the service. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland. Jonathan Dwayne Smith. Jonathan Dwayne Smith, 32, of Odessa, died Tuesday, July 28th. A graveside service is scheduled for 9 a.m. Wednesday, August 5th at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Burial will take place there with Bishop Darrell Sutton officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Donald Lee Tippett Jr. Donald Lee Tippett Jr., 75, of Odessa, died Sunday, July 19th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Felipe Rivera Torres III. Felipe Rivera Torres III, 50, of Odessa, died Tuesday, July 28th. A funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Monday, August 3rd, at the Bridge Church, 3901 East Yukon Road. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Pastor Donnie Williams officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, August 3rd. ECISD promotes AVID coordinator. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. As part of an initiative to help high school graduates enroll in college and get through it, Ector County ISD has named Elizabeth Gray coordinator of post-secondary education. Gray was the coordinator for the Advancement Via Individual Determination, the AVID program, for Odessa Collegiate Academy, one of two early college high schools on the Odessa College campus. She started her new job on July 13th. It's kind of a continuation of what she was doing, but now she will serve students in the whole district. Quote, "That means I get to help all the ECISD seniors be successful after they graduate high school," Gray said. "We get a lot of kids that get into college that don't enroll in college or get to the campus," end quote. Amy Anderson, AVID director for ECISD, said the district loses 30% of students between high school graduation and stepping foot on a college campus. Quote, "Life happens," Anderson said when asked why this happens. Quote, "I think it's the same way that as adults. We have these grand plans, and this is what we want, but then life happens. COVID happens. Parents lose their jobs. I don't have any money. I don't have a way to get there. I don't have housing. There's all these different components that maybe they didn't have quite ironed out, and then they panic, or they get a really good job where they feel like they're making great money because it's the best job they've had so far," end quote. Once they graduate from high school, Gray said, they lose the support they had from teachers and counselors. Quote, "That's hopefully what I can put back into their life. We have the whole AVID department for sure," Gray said. Anderson said this builds off of what AVID is doing. AVID's mission is to close the achievement gap by preparing students for college success in a global society, but it also supports students and helps with organization, time management, and note-taking. People in the program are bonded by the experience. AVID is available in higher education. This year, a pilot program is being conducted with AVID seniors, and hopefully within the next year or two, they will be able to support all EZISD seniors, Anderson said. Anderson said some communities have the To and Through initiative, and it's a community-wide effort, which is something they plan for Odessa. Quote, "It's also been done by college campuses. They have little camps in the summer, different types of bridging activities to increase their college enrollment, so they're doing it to increase their enrollment and capture those kids," Anderson said. Quote, "We're just trying to fill in what we see as a gap and bridge that from public education to higher education or certification or the military, so having someone that is the liaison between all of them," she added. Gray says he will work to do whatever is best for students to help them achieve success. Before Superintendent Scott Murray came on board, Anderson said they were looking at persistence data that showed which students were completing a college degree, associate or bachelor's, getting an industry certification, or military service. Quote, "We wanted to start tracking our kids better with AVID. That's when we realized that we're losing a majority of them. They're not completing, and we think that they are the very best prepared to complete, and so we started thinking about what can we do. How can we support these kids after graduation?" And then Dr. Murray said, "Well, let's not just support AVID kids. All kids need it, and I'm all aboard for that," Anderson said. Gray said she's only had two graduating classes, but recently she helped someone from the class of 2019 apply and register at UTPB. Quote, "So even a year later, he knew that he could email me and I could help him," Gray said. She added that the To and Through program will be more universal. Quote, "She's taking what she did in class and amping that up to do it for everyone in ECISD, Anderson said. Quote, "It's going to be a little bit before we can see the results of our efforts, because of course that's a data that tells about 6 years out. So for the class of 2020 with our 280 AVID students, it will be 2026 before we know that new data for them, then so forth with each graduating class," end quote. In the class of 2013, 6.5% of ECISD students successfully completed a technical certification or 2- or 4-year degree after 6 years. But 55% of students in that class enrolled in a technical 2- or 4-year institution, Murray has said. Murray also talked about how students can be mentored through the next step up their educational journey. Anderson said in one of their leadership conversations, an ECISD Alumni Association was discussed so students could network beyond the 5 high schools so that they could become a community to support each other. Quote, "We're hoping to partner with all the schools and adopt an alumni program to also build a support system back in Odessa when they might be out of town or out of state going to college," Gray said. After you graduate from high school, Anderson said, life is set up a little bit differently. Quote, "You don't necessarily have those supports. They're not automatically there for you. So we're going to start talking to them about how to build those supports, how to build those networks, giving them kind of daily tidbits just to be successful at life and at whatever they're doing, whether that's college, technical school, military, or career," Anderson said. Gray, who will be starting her 8th year with ECISD, said they also want to support families through family workshops or family emails to help support newly graduated students. Anderson said she is glad to have Gray on board. Gray, who has a bachelor's degree in history from Texas Woman's University, and a master's in professional education from the University of Texas Permian Basin, is now studying mechanical engineering with an aerospace focus at UTPB. Quote, I'm super excited that she's on board, and she is just the right person for the job. She's actually going to college right now, and she has a beautiful story of just her own educational journey, so she knows what these kids need," Anderson said. Anderson said they are hoping to set up a system where students can call the to-and-through department and get advice. There are various ways to reach Anderson and Gray. There is a Remind app, and Gray can be reached at area code 432-279-1301. Anderson said she doesn't know if there are plans to add to the department, but they are all about what students need. Quote, "So if students need more support, then I know that we will be giving more support, and whatever that means, we are student-driven, so whatever our students communicate, or as we're studying and tracking, we see that they need, we will meet that need, whether that will be personnel, more frequent support, more community involvement, whatever that is, we are willing to do it," Anderson said.
If atrial fibrillation is on and off, why are meds full-time? To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, published in the Odessa American, Saturday, August 1st, 2020. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a male, 71, with a bovine aortic valve that was installed 11 years ago. I went into atrial fibrillation 6 years ago and had an electric shock to stop it. That lasted a week and was followed by an ablation, which kept me out of atrial fibrillation for 5 years. I went into atrial fibrillation again last year, and the shock I got is still working. I am now on Xarelto as before, but my cardiologist will not allow me to quit this time, even with electronic surveillance equipment. His only explanation is that the risk of stroke as a result of going back into unrecognized AFib is too great. Is he just being old-fashioned? I can buy the monitor app and still have money left over compared with the monthly cost of Xarelto, not to mention the side effects and risks. Answer. I think I agree with your old-fashioned cardiologist. Since you have gone back into atrial fibrillation, a lack of rhythm of the heart that predisposes to clot formation, despite an ablation procedure, it is likely you will do so again. People who go in and out of atrial fibrillation are at similar risk for stroke as those who are in atrial fibrillation all the time. The risk for stroke is a few percent per year. Strokes can be devastating. The expense of Xarelto and its attendant small risks are outweighed by the reduction in stroke risk. Payment for bookkeeping is costing family its harmony. Dear Abby, for Monday, August 3rd. Dear Abby, I take care of my daughter-in-law's taxes and have for the past 15 years. I have never charged her for it. When she brings me the paperwork, it is always a mess. I told her I would be her full-time bookkeeper and charge her $300 a month, but it's like getting blood from a turnip. I have to beg her each month for my pay. My husband said I should stop doing it for her. What should I do? I feel like this is driving a wedge between us. She owns a small construction cleaning service and makes good money. Good with figures in Florida. Dear Good, your daughter-in-law may resent the fact that you want payment for keeping her finances in order, but I'll bet you're charging far less than a non-family member would. It's time to tell her that dunning her for money every month has become too stressful. Suggest that she set up an automatic fund transfer to your account to cover the monthly fee. If she's unwilling to do that, then your husband has the right idea, and it would be better for both of you if she hired someone else for these services. Dear Abby, one of my dearest friends has a nasty habit of making snide comments about people who are overweight. We've been friends for more than 40 years, and she has always been this way. Now that I'm older, I have packed on a few pounds myself, and when she says these things in a conversation, I'm like, hey, I'm overweight too. Am I disgusting? I can't seem to find the words to get her to think about what she says. It doesn't really hurt my feelings, but it makes her sound like a horrible person, and she really isn't. She's a dear in almost every other respect. I would like to get her to stop this, so what's your advice? Friend has a fault. Dear friend, the next time she does it, say out loud, "Hey, I'm overweight too. Am I disgusting like you say about those other people? I have listened to this for 40 years, and enough is enough. You are sweet, but when you say those things, you come across as nasty and judgmental, so cut it out. Better late than never." Dear Abby, I am 41, divorced for the second time, and I have fallen madly in love with a wonderful man. He got out of a 12-year relationship 6 months ago. Until last week, he still had ties with her, but he finally washed his hands of her. The only thing is, he lied to her to avoid a confrontation. He couldn't bring himself to stand up to her and tell her the truth. It hurts me deeply, and it has forced a wedge between us. He doesn't understand why it hurts me so much, and he doesn't seem to care. I'm trying to shake it, but it's hard to do. I just need someone to help me get over it. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Heartbroken in Tennessee. Dear Heartbroken, I wish you had revealed what this gentleman is afraid to tell his ex. Could it be that he is involved with you? If so, this is a red flag. His unwillingness or inability to tell the truth is a serious character flaw and should not be something you should ignore.
Hemochromatosis blood donation. Dear Dr. Roach, I read your column regularly and was particularly interested in your answer about anti-JKB and blood donation. I have hemochromatosis. For years, I gave blood regularly to my local blood bank. They knew of my diagnosis, and I put it on all the forms each time. They, in turn, made the donation available for transfusions. When the Red Cross absorbed the local blood bank a few years ago, I was told that my blood could not be used for transfusions. I now go to a hematologist's office for phlebotomy, and my blood is thrown away. The hematologist says that this is a terrible waste, as he believes my blood to be untainted. What is wrong with my blood that the Red Cross won't use it? J. Answer. Primary or hereditary hemochromatosis is a disease of iron absorption. The body is normally able to regulate how much iron to absorb. A lot if levels are low, almost none if none is needed. In your form of hemochromatosis, a genetic mutation locks the cells in the small intestine so that it absorbs as much iron as it can all the time. Over years, iron levels build up and can cause damage to many organs, but especially the bone marrow, heart, and liver. The treatment of phlebotomy is to take your red blood cells, which are full of iron, and remove them from your body. This eventually can bring your iron levels to normal, but most will need a few phlebotomies a year, at least, to stay in the normal range. There is nothing wrong with the blood at all, and I agree with your hematologist and disagree with the Red Cross in this one instance. Some blood banks use donated blood from hemochromatosis patients. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, etc. Widow vows never to share her bed with another man. Dear Abby, I am a single man who recently met a widow who is 9 years older. We connected via an online dating site. At the end of our three-hour conversation, she said, "No man will ever share my bed." This is because of her second husband, who died 6 years ago. She said if a man shared her bed, she felt it would be cheating on her late husband. When she said it, I was surprised and shocked. I hadn't asked her if she would share my or another man's bed. What are your thoughts on this? And do a lot of widows adhere to this practice? Should this be considered a deal breaker in a potential relationship? And would replacing the bed with a new one help? Sleepless in San Diego. Dear Sleepless, some widows and widowers become celibate after the death of their spouse. A phrase I have heard used is, I've had the best, and no one can ever replace blank. I also know women and men who, after their grief has lessened, have gone on to have happy, successful second or third marriages. What the woman you were talking with was doing was eradicating any expectation you might have had about a sexual relationship with her. She should have specified on her profile that sex was off the table. Be glad she was honest. This would be a deal-breaker for any man who is interested in maintaining his sex life. While replacing her mattress might have been a helpful suggestion, I doubt she would have been receptive. According to the mail I receive, amorous couples make love in many places besides the bedroom. Dear Abby, I read you every day. My daughter, the oldest of four children, and I had a falling out because I paid for her education, but she couldn't be thankful. She was very entitled as a child, but it was important to me that she graduated. She's a schoolteacher now. When she asked me to pay for her wedding, I said, "Will you be thankful this time?" She stomped out and said, "I'll do it myself." I learned today that she went gown shopping with my mom and her fiancé's mother and excluded me. I am so angry, hurt, and sad that I don't even want to go to the wedding anymore. I could use some advice here. Sad in Arkansas. Dear Sad, I'm surprised you had to demand gratitude from your daughter. She may have not learned appreciation because she was always handed everything she wanted, so now she expects your role in her life to continue on that path. That she went gown shopping without inviting you was her way of punishing you for not forking over the money for her wedding. I wonder if your mother and her fiancé's mother are contributing. I do not think you should skip her wedding, regardless of how tempted you may be. That said, it is important you realize a pattern has been established in your relationship with your daughter, and she may use your grandchildren as pawns to manipulate you, so be prepared. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren. Write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Leo and a moon in Aquarius until 9:28 p.m. when the moon enters Pisces. Happy birthday for Tuesday, August 4, 2020. Clever and talented, you occupy a principal position among your contemporaries. You are restless this year, making a dream come true. You do it your way, so there will be partings. If single, it is best you date outside your work. You find someone special in October. If attached, you're like two peas in a pod, the outside world ceasing to exist. Love is blind. Libra suits you perfectly. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 3 stars. Today brings enthusiasm about new goals. You experience deeper love and acceptance. Politics are intriguing. You're embraced by a deeper spirit of community and altruism. Reach out to new friends. Tonight, let yourself off the hook and binge on your favorite health snack. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. A serious, business-like phase commences. Contentment is found when you become enmeshed in worthwhile work and prepare for the future. Establish a connection with the earth. Accept and issue invitations. Tonight, prepare for the next big event. Gala for some. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 2 stars. Preserve the status quo at work. Temporarily, there's great confusion about the direction of your career. Consult a mentor for insights. Take note of a dream and interpret its symbols carefully. A change made in haste leads to regret. Tonight, continue in not making this change. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Catch up on neglected financial obligations. A mystery is solved. A message of inspiration arrives, encoded in an unexpected story, song, or joke. Appreciate and honor the past. Tonight, catch up with your honey over a wonderfully home-cooked meal. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. You enjoy a challenge and living in the moment. Regarding close relationships, don't rush a situation. A tie moves to a new dimension of intimacy, or a new liaison develops. Travel would play a part. Tonight, meaning it's at a distance. Delicious. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Examine ways to get more organized. Intuition combined with intellect makes you a star. Other people make plans and decisions involving you. Cooperate. Explore new variations in diet and exercise regimens. Tonight, you're so relieved you didn't get the tattoo. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Today brings out the gambler in you. Consider any risky investments carefully. An old flame could be rekindled. Go slowly with forming serious commitments or changing an existing relationship. No haste. Tonight, come back to earth and clean your desk. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Meditate on the past, then release that which no longer serves you. This time, visualizations manifest. Build only positive thought forms. Old issues about residents and family members can be resolved. Tonight, in secret, you can banish anyone you want. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Travel is enjoyable, but you may need to correct problems related to transportation. It's a wonderful cycle for strengthening relationships with difficult neighbors or siblings. Adopt a tolerant attitude with them. Love connections abound. Tonight, you might end up having a party. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. You increase your earning ability. Friends offer valuable insights regarding new sources of income. Be alert. Follow through with a promising opportunity. And examine habits regarding money management. Figure out what hasn't been working and don't repeat the pattern. Tonight, breakthrough. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Expect a dynamic time. Spring fever prevails. Strategy helps you balance career demands with home life. Careful scheduling is the key to making everything work out smoothly. Live in the present. Tonight, begin a beautiful new budget book with different colors. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Receptive and very emotional and sympathetic, you often feel tugged in different directions by external conflict and inner turmoil. Today, the power found in silence and the healing qualities of peace and privacy are cherished. Tonight, a good night's rest. Born today, poet Percy Bysshe Shelley, 1792. Musician Louis Armstrong, 1901. Actor Billy Bob Thornton, 1955.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.